Back here on Radio Row at SEC Media Day, Sports Call broadcasting live, J.J. Jackson and Tom Peavy getting a chance to catch up with Auburn's very own Rachel Barbro here on Sports Call. Rachel, how are things?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing quite well. Thanks for asking. Rachel currently hosts a show on SiriusXM Radio covering all of college football, and it's talking season.
Yeah.
To the max anytime we're here at SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
Have you had a good week so far?
I've had a fantastic week so far. And then a couple more coaches and players today. And then we get to visit with Auburn tomorrow. And so that'll be really good. I'm very excited.
Isn't it wild, though? We get so fired up about this week. And then what everybody's been saying, at the end of the week, we have to realize, oh, wait, there's actually 4 or 5 weeks until they can actually play football. Like, we get so excited.
Yeah.
And then you just still have to wait these 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, this is talking season. And then the next 4 to 5 weeks is proving season for these guys. You know, every weight they've lifted in the spring, every dog day they put in the summer, you know, those types of things. So we're talking here, and now they're proving. And, you know, you pray for health.
Sure.
For these guys the next 4 or 5 weeks, because you always hate to see the guys that work so hard that rip an Achilles or, you know, do something to their knee in fall camp. But it's – and then I'm getting ready to go on the road for changing the narrative. August is always a humongous month for me, and so I think I'm speaking at 10 schools in 1 month. So it's going to be nuts.
And we're going to talk about changing the narrative a little bit, but first I want to talk some Auburn because it is talking season.
Yeah.
What are the Tigers going to do this year? I mean,
I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows. I do know this. I do know that Gus performs really well with his back against the wall.
Right.
I also know that I think Gus is a true play caller. I think Gus is a better play caller than he is a head coach. And let me pause by when I say that, it's not a knock on Gus. I think his true talents are in being a play caller. I think his true talents are having his hands in an offense. I think it takes away from that when he has to be a head coach. Do I think he is, you know, I know Gus and Christy and very close to Christy, so I don't want anybody to think it's a knock. I just think it takes away from what his true talent is, and that's as a play caller. And he has fun and he enjoys doing that. And that was evidence at the end of last year. And so I do think that he could exceed a lot of people's expectations this year.
Rachel Barbro joining us here on Radio Row, talking Auburn football as they gear up for 2019. The quarterback is the obvious question for this team that still needs to be answered. But then on top of that, you talk about tough schedules in college football. Auburn might not be the first one that you bring up. South Carolina might have an argument with both Alabama and Clemson on their schedule, but Auburn's schedule is up there as well.
Yeah, Auburn's schedule's up there as well. You know, what's interesting to me about Auburn is Auburn performs really well historically when the pressure's not on them,
right,
so to speak. And people say, well, pressure's not on Auburn. Well, the pressure this year and all the talk is around LSU, Texas A&M, and Alabama for the West, by and large. If I've asked 10 people here, 9 out of 10 would say Texas A&M, LSU, and Alabama. They're not really mentioning Auburn as a stalwart. And again, no disrespect in challenging for the West, but that's a good thing for Auburn. Fly a little bit under the radar. Let Gus get back to doing what he's doing. Lean on the defense. The defense is, you know, we're no stranger, Kevin Steele's defenses, to leaning on the defense while the offense and the quarterback figures it out. And I think that might also be the recipe this year.
Well, we'll definitely see what happens with that. Always good to talk Auburn with you, but there's some bigger things that you have going.
Yeah.
Changing the narrative. You started this.
Yeah.
It's a motivational speaking program, correct?
Yeah.
You travel around to all these schools. You talk to the players and the coaches. Just fill the folks in Auburn about what changing the narrative is and how that got started.
Yeah, if anybody's – for all the people that are listening, I would say this. I speak about purpose, passion, platform, mental health, how to be a king every day of your life. I started speaking to women, too, because if I'm asking men to be part of the solution,
right,
then I need to ask women to be part of the solution and be a queen and love themselves and have boundaries and standards by which they'll allow people to treat them. I've been doing this for – 3 years in August, over 30 schools, 50 stops, and about to, I just got the news this morning that was official partner with the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
They came and found me, and I'm actually representing them at the Enshrinement game in Canton all week long.
That's awesome.
Sitting down with Gold Jackets, sitting down with the youth, meeting with the NFL. It's crazy to me how you can have a tiny idea and have detractors and feel like quitting, and times, you know, people not understand the message and call you just a domestic violence speaker, and I do speak on that. But we also now focus very heavily on mental health, and I'm so glad the commissioner brought that up this week. So it's so gratifying to have your program that at times you have felt like quitting be recognized by the freaking Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, most inspiring place on the earth.
Major congratulations are in order for that, by the way. Is there a moment that you can pinpoint exactly when the idea came to your mind for changing the narrative, or was it a series of ideas that all came to be one?
No, it was the summer of 2016. I was doing radio shows for Sirius, and I would have to back away from the mic on breaks and cry, because if you remember the headlines during that summer, if you got on CBS, Fox, ESPN online, it was negative, 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 negative. I mean, it was so dark. And I remember saying, this is not indicative of football, like the football I know. We're letting a few yahoos steal the headlines. And so I thought, what if we could do something about it and encourage everybody else in college football to change the narrative, so to speak. And so that's where the Purpose, Passion, Platform, Being a King, interpersonal relationship, where that came. And then being out on the road, they taught me about mental health and how needed it is to destigmatize that and talk about it. Men and women, but particularly our young men, are suffering from this idea that it's not masculine, strong, or attractive to be vulnerable. And I just told somebody in my life recently, I said, that at this point in your life, when you were this vulnerable, that's when I loved you the most.
Right. Now, the one thing I was going to ask you, I follow you on social media a lot. Put it into words how cool it is when you see a player that you have touched their life, and they come back to you a year and a half, 2 years later, and they just come to you and go, thank you.
So I've gotten some pretty cool things to happen. I've had pictures from the birthing room.
Right.
One of my kings. I recently went to North Carolina and saw one of my kings get married. So try not to cry. I've seen players here this week that said, oh my gosh, I need more bracelets. Thank you. I'm a king. Listen, the reason why I call them a king, it's really purposeful. The reason why I call them a king is because these guys have taught me for so long. They have been stereotyped. They've been called dumb jock. They've been called stupid. They've been called entitled. They've been called players. They've been called dogs, and not in a good way. And so for so long, they haven't felt like they could beat the stereotype. So they just said, screw it, I'll join it. They didn't have the strength or the understanding of how to fight it. And so we talk about how to fight these stereotypes. And so when I call them king, it's purposeful. And what I say is call somebody by what they were created to be and watch them rise up to it. And I'm telling you, 10 out of 10 times when I retweet one of my kings across the country at these institutions and I put king in the little emoji, they always retweet it because they want to be known as a king. Deep down, we were born good. We want to do good. We want to take care of other people. I had Bradley Bozeman a couple of years ago here say, I thought about you. And I was like, what happened? And he said, well, it was a little kid with cancer and said they wanted me an Alabama football player. And I went to meet them. They were terminal. I said, how'd that make you feel? And he said, like a king. And later on, fast forward, there was a little girl that was being bullied. And I said, would you make a video so I can give it to her? And he said, I'll do you one better. I'll meet you at the school, because I went to speak. And we sat down at coffee, and he said, because of you, I feel inspired. And he has to start a nonprofit because he was bullied. And he goes into schools and talks to kids about being bullied, all while preparing for the NFL draft.
Wow.
And that's just one of a thousand stories. And I'm writing a book now. So called Calling on the Hearts of Kings, the story of changing the narrative.
Well, now, Rachel, you've done so much stuff since your time at Auburn.
Yeah.
ACC Network.
Yeah.
Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa News.
CBS.
You got
really close with Alabama. Yeah, there's some contention there. As much as you've done, though, there's still a soft place in your heart for Auburn, correct?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It was really awesome. We interviewed Charles Barkley right around the Final Four. And at Sirius, we might do the most 20-minute segments. Our producer kept telling us, you can blow it off, blow it off, blow it off, because it was a 36-minute interview. Huh. I was with Mike Jaminski, his old teammate, in the NBA. So we talked about racism, name and likeness, one and done, Auburn, being a broadcaster, and what he's taught me is it's okay to let your freak flag fly. It's okay to let your Auburn flag fly. And you can be objective, but you can still be a fan, and you can be happy when Auburn goes to the CWS. You can be happy when you can objectively talk about the game and then also say, I love Auburn.
Right.
I absolutely love Auburn. I love this football program and the sports, and I've gotten a new relationship with Alan Green and really, really like him a lot. And so you can do all those things. They don't have to be, they don't have to be on opposite ends of the spectrum. They can live in the same world, in the same heart, my heart.
I think a lot of people were kind of blown away and loved watching that Final Four run from the Auburn basketball team, and not only the play on the court, as you're saying, but it was incredible that CBS Sports and the folks at Turner allowed Charles Barkley to decorate his desk with all of the Auburn stuff that was happening. That was so cool to see.
I thought it was fantastic, and I think it's a new – I told him in that interview, you allow me to be me. Thank you. You give me permission to be me, and that is unapologetic, myself. Again, I'm still going to be objective. I'm not going to give it to you from the Auburn slant, but I can do all those things and still tell you the backstory and tell you about Chuma Okeke and tell you how I feel and wear my Auburn shirt and put my Auburn videos on the, you know, on the internet. You know, the CWS, oh my gosh, the end of that game. I had been making videos, and I was like, damn it, you're just going nuts. And I prematurely put them on Twitter. I was like, oh. I think he's taught us all that we can do these things and still be an Auburn fan and still do our job.
It's Rachel Barbro joining us on Sports Call. Changing the Narrative is the program and the motivational program that she brings all across college football. And you mentioned just how busy August is going to be. Is this, like, talk about the advantage of going around and talking to these teams now, Rachel, not only the climate that we're in 2019, but more importantly for these football teams, just to start off the season on a good note. I think it'd be a little bit different for you if a narrative, so to speak, had already been created, say, 6 weeks into the year. Mm-hmm. Here you are getting to talk to them before the year even gets going.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong point. You set the stage. You set the stage for accountability. It's being a king means, or being queen means, you're not perfect, but you take stock of your day every single day, from what you did, from talking to your server at the restaurant to were you rude to the person parking your car? Were you rude to your mother? Did you keep your word? Did you give max effort? Did you float in here and not do your prep, which sure. I see you did, you know? I mean, those are, and you take accountability for that. I have guys write journals, you know, that say, I want to be a king. Well, let's keep a journal for 90 days. What ways was I a king today, and what ways can I fix it? Our society today tells us that we don't have to fix anything. Right. It make me feel good, put it on the internet, get some likes. It's all about me, you know, and especially when it comes to interpersonal relationships. And so changing the narrative is a whole system of accountability and being able to look in the mirror. Do you know how many of these guys and gals tell me, I'm not proud of the person that's staring back at me in the mirror. We'll fix it. Let's fix it. And so, yeah, you're absolutely starting. You're setting the stage there. And the other cool thing is a lot of these programs have me back multiple times, going back to Washington State, back to Rochester, been back to LSU, going back to Texas A&M, back to Tennessee, because it's continuing education. It's continuing to pour in. I don't want them. And that's why when I finish the talk, I put up my Twitter. They follow me. I follow them. It gives us a safe place to DM. And I tell them, as long as you'll have me in your life, I will be here. I will come to your wedding. I will look at your baby pictures. I will, very sadly, I'll take your phone call in the middle of the night if you're close to suicide. And it's happened.
Recently. Yeah.
Two.
Rachel Barbro joining us here on Sports Call. Such a powerful message, a powerful thing that's taking place here, changing the narrative.
Yes.
And so I guess the next question, as we sort of start to wrap up, I know you're pressed for time, and we do appreciate you taking time. We've got so many people just in the Auburn area that are driving around, and this can't be done alone. So if there is somebody in their cars driving around and that sort of thing, what would your message to them be? How can they help out?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, the first message is we want to hear from you. We'd love your help. There's lots of ways to volunteer, to be an ambassador, to get involved. And they can go to IamChangingTheNarrative.org. That's I, be an apostrophe, but IamChangingTheNarrative.org. You can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Barbro. But I think the first thing you can do is in your own life, take a long, hard look in the mirror and go, is there something I need to do? Kings and queens do hard things, like forgive people that haven't asked for forgiveness. A lot of my kings have forgiven deadbeat dads. I had a king tell me that he was going to forgive the dad who wanted him to be aborted. Being better fathers, being better mothers, being better sisters. If there's something in your life that's an albatross that's hanging around your neck and unforgiveness, just forgive them. Fix it. If there's somebody you need to say you're sorry to that you've hurt. I had a guy reach out to me recently, and he said, Miss Rachel, I cheated on my ex-girlfriend from a while back. I'm dating somebody else now, and I've never felt good about it. I felt like a loser and a jerk ever since. And he said, when you came in and talked, you encouraged me to be a king and to fix the things in my life. He said, so I reached out to her, and he sent me the screenshots of where he reached out to her, and he said, you know, I'm in a relationship. I know you moved on. I just want to apologize. I treated you wrong. I cheated on you. Please forgive me. I'm a better man now. I'm a king. And she said, oh, so-and-so, I'm so glad you reached out. I totally forgive you. I wish you nothing but the best. And I said, how do you feel? And he said, like a king. I feel like a good man. And so those are just some of the examples that are just amazing. And I would say you could take those examples and apply them to your own life.
When we're talking kings and queens in the world and in the world of college football, yeah, Rachel Barbeau is the first queen that comes to mind.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
The time today. Thank
and
you for joining
Eagle.
Us. And War
Eagle. Yes, War Eagle. Say that. War Eagle.
Rachel Barbeau here with us on Sports Call.